Welcome to the Fix Podcast here on thesportsvirus.com featuring pitching mechanics expert Angel Borelli. I'm your host, Joe Castellano, also the host of the San Francisco Giants Inside China Basin podcast and the San Francisco 49ers Extra podcast. The Fix is your bi-weekly show focusing on pitching mechanics, injury prevention, and peak performance on the mound. Angel Borelli has a master's degree in sports science and has been a strength and conditioning coach for 35 years. For the past 20 years, she's worked specifically on investigating pitching deliveries. Pitchers from Little League on up to the big leagues seek out Angel for solutions that will help take them to the next level. She also works with pitchers who are recovering from injuries by giving them customized training programs that will get them back on the mound. And she finds and corrects the flaws that led to the injury in the first place. Education, solutions, and troubleshooting here on the Fix Podcast, also available on the iTunes podcast app. And here we are, Joe and Angel, with our last podcast of 2015. But don't worry, we'll be back in 2016. And there's a lot to cover here today as we're going down to the stretch run of the season for Major League teams. We're almost at the end of the regular season, and then they go into the postseason. And Angel, when you see pitchers like, you know, we talked a lot about Matt Harvey and how he was reaching his innings limit, and he's got to be ready to go for the postseason. And you look at what Madison Bumgarner did last year when he threw 270 innings overall. How much of what these pitchers do in the offseason should be paying off for them if they've got to be ready for extra innings, so to speak, when they have to pitch into the postseason?
Well, you know, I love this question because the truth is you really need to distill down the fact that pitching is a physical skill that requires strength, it requires power, and you need to be in shape. And the better in shape you are, the better you're able to handle whatever demand is placed on you. So whether we're talking about pitching or living a daily life, if you know anybody that trains regularly in a gym, whether it's your son, maybe it might be yourself, and when you do something regularly, you seem to be in great shape and you are able to handle whatever is put in front of you, whether it be lifting a heavy box, carrying groceries up a stairs, or maybe you have to walk 10 miles on one day and you're able to handle it. That's why it's so critical that when you're going into an off season like you are now, you're not just looking at the next few months. You're looking at creating a machine that has the ability to withstand whatever's handed to you. And in terms of a pitcher, he doesn't know what's going to be happening. So he's not only got to train in the off season, but the main thing about the off season, especially if you're new to training, is to develop a habit so you continue training during the year. You might think, oh, well, they shouldn't go in the gym. They're working so hard. No. They have to go in the gym. I mean, the gym is filled at 5 o'clock with guys who do construction work. And when I ask them, how are you here after a hard day of lifting and hammering and doing whatever, they said, if I didn't do this, I wouldn't be able to do that. So the deal is establish good habits in the off season and then take that through the season. You have to change it up a little bit. But what you are then is a machine that can handle whatever is handed to you. And then you have the available energy to do the real job of postseason, which is the mental part and being energized and able to handle whatever the challenge is.
And that really is the case for rookie pitchers as they go into the last couple of months of the season. We had a great conversation on the Inside China Basin San Francisco Giants podcast about the delivery as far as fastball versus off-speed pitches with Giants rookie right-hander Chris Heston. Let's listen into that. Since Chris Heston pitched yesterday and he's had a really good rookie season overall, we thought it'd be a good idea to analyze Chris. And, you know, he started out so great, Angel. He had 11 wins against 5 losses and looked like he was going deeper into games than he is now. And he was more consistent. He's been a little more erratic in the second half of the year. And I think that on Tuesday night, it was a good example of it. You watched it. He walked 5 in 4 1/3 innings, and he didn't get the W because he wasn't able to go 5 innings. His pitch count was up to 94. But what have you noticed about his delivery?
Well, what's interesting about his delivery is that the two things I want to talk about are things you don't have to have a camera to see. Now that I mention it, go back and look at him the next time you see him pitch. You're going to see this easily. The first thing I want to talk about is something you don't want to do, and it's something that can lead to an injury. He takes his pitching arm out of the glove, and as he raises it up to shoulder height, which is what the pitchers do with both arms as they're striding, he goes above the level of the shoulder, and he does this because he leads slightly up with his elbow. He's got a slight what we call inverted W style, but it's not as big as we've seen with other pitchers. But because of that, he goes too high, and when he starts to make his turn towards the plate, you will notice that his elbow is higher than his shoulder. And the reason why this is a problem is the supraspinatus, which runs across the top of the shoulder. It's right underneath where your seam would be on the top of a shirt. It is one of the rotator cuff muscles. It's responsible for lifting the arm up along with the shoulder muscles. You do not want that muscle to become fatigued or injured because it has a lot of work to do throughout the innings. And when you have a style that lifts that higher than the shoulder, that muscle starts abutting up against a bone that it runs under, and you can end up with serious shoulder problems and or fatigue in the arm. The other thing that muscle does is it helps the arm stay in place. So if he has location issues and he's got this problem, that would be the first thing to correct, because his arm may not be staying in the same location in his shoulder joint that he wants it to. Plus, he's creating a lot of laxity by overstretching it. So that's the first thing I want everyone to see. If you have a pitcher that does that, or if you are a pitcher and you do that, that's something you want to get control of. You need to know how to stop at shoulder height. The second thing about him that I noticed, and you'll notice it too, he has a great finish on his off-speed pitches, his changeup, his other pitches. He's got a different follow through and a different control over his front side that he does with his fastball. I didn't even have to look at the speed to know if he was throwing a fastball or not. Now, the problem with this is, and it's got good news and bad news, you have to get over your front leg to be effective with off speed pitches. And I think it's just that the pitchers think they've got to do something more, and they want to get closer to the plate. So they usually have a way better front leg. They have more control at the end, and it looks fantastic. He needs to try to get that going with his fastball because, number one, he'll be releasing closer to the plate, which will get him out of that 89-mile-per-hour range that he seems to stay in. But number two, you want to have those consistent mechanics, and you want to have a front leg that's stable, and you want to release close to the plate on all the pitches. The fact that on two of his pitches, I saw beautiful follow-throughs, and boom, the second he throws a fastball, he stands up in the middle of his follow-through. He looks like he's falling off, out of control falling off, not a momentum falling off, but out of control falling off. And what that's going to do is it mixes up his delivery to the point where he could have consistent location inconsistencies. And so we want to see, especially when a pitcher, we already know he knows how to do it, now bring it to your fastball. And that's what I noticed about him. And both those things, if you watch him, you'll be able to see it with your naked eye.
Kind of explains why at times he'll fall behind in the count, and I think the catchers feel like they want to call breaking balls for Heston because it's more reliable. I mean, it seems like later in the year, the fastball hasn't been as reliable for him to throw strikes. You know, just like what you're talking about, his delivery isn't as consistent. And it makes the catchers think, you know, maybe we need to call off-speed pitches.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. That may be why they're doing it. So, you know, in baseball, like, a lot of people know a lot of things, but they don't really know what they know. And then somebody like me says something and they go, oh, yeah. You know what? That is what's going on. So, yeah, that's something. And he's a great example of a pitcher that could be really good, but he's got just a few little things that need to have some attention.
That was on the San Francisco Giants Inside China Basin podcast. And, Angel, to follow up on what you were talking about with Chris Heston, you go into the offseason after looking at something like that with Chris Heston, knowing that he's got to make a correction if he wants to be more consistent. So, you know, what do pitchers need to do overall as far as their off-season planning and thinking about next year?
he's a great example of a pitcher who's got a job to do. He's in the middle of, he's in the end of a season now, but even in season, when these guys find out something's not working, they're real hesitant to change anything. They almost feel like they'll do better if they just keep working at the way they do it. But the most important thing is, and he's an example of how you would plan your off season. He is a guy who, as I said, definitely brings his arm too high. He's setting himself up for a rotator cuff injury. He also has said he has a problem with performance because of that, and also with his inconsistent follow-through. What he should be doing, and which is what every pitcher should do, and I have pitchers that are going into a late season, so they're just finishing now, but what we did with the guys who finished in the summer, take a look at the film of your last outing. If nobody takes the film, do one more bullpen and get film on that. Have it analyzed and look at, what do I need to change? And you're not changing it on the mound. You're changing it in the gym. So there are very specific exercises that would help him learn how to bring the shoulder to the right height. He's actually doing a movement with the shoulder that's unnatural. And most errors in a pitching motion are unnatural because a good pitching motion has efficient actions around the joint. So he's doing something unnatural. If he targeted that with his workout in the gym, he could fix that. And by the time he got back to his flat ground throwing program, he'd already have it 90% handled, as long as he's connecting the dots. So guys, make sure that in the off season, you're connecting the dots between what you need in terms of not just mechanics and not just velocity, which seems to be all that people think about, but in terms of performance and what are the issues that you can take on and take the ball out of your hand, take the glove off and go in the gym and do the exercises that create the correct body movements, and then you'll have the job 70% handled. Don't wait until you start throwing again, especially when you're coming off a season like Chris, where it's real easy to identify what his performance issues have been and also what his mechanical issues are. And yet he's a great pitcher. I hope he takes this, and I wish he could hear this, because this is what he needs to do, and it's what every pitcher needs to do.
And when he was looking at it maybe during the season, maybe he knew that, but I would think it would be pretty hard to implement anything like that during the season when you only have 4 days of rest in between starts, right?
Yes, it's very hard. All the pitchers that I work with when they're facing hitters, especially on the arm issue, it's very, very hard to do. In fact, we don't even recommend it, but most of the time the pitcher's coming because he's got to save his job. He's got to, you know, he's all of a sudden not starting anymore, and he's looking for help. And those guys are highly motivated, or let's say they have pain. They're highly motivated, and that's what it takes to be able to change something in season. It's real tough because on the mound, they're trying to throw strikes. They're not thinking about mechanics. And when you're changing mechanics, don't kid yourself. You have to work technically. You have to have the space to do bullpens where you're thinking about your mechanics until that thinking process transfers it into a normal motion. And, of course, when you're in season facing hitters, that's a problem. That's why we start our throwing program at the beginning of December. So you've got months to start working on the issues, and you should already know what those issues are that you need to change, and you should already have been working on them in the gym. That's how you start to plan a year that's real systematic and that also is always productive, and you know you're always progressing if you're doing that.
All right, now it's time to talk
velocity.
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 And look at that, triple digits, 101 on our gun.
And for today's velocity segment, you know, I was thinking, Angel, that as a hitter, you'll see all these different stances and all these different approaches. And then when it comes to getting into the zone, just about every hitter is in the same spot. You know, by the time they get to where they're hitting, the good hitters always seem to be in the same exact position at the very end. But how they get there is kind of up to them. But how about as far as pitching? What are the consistencies that have to happen as far as having good velocity?
Well, you know, all year, all season long, I've been talking about all the components of what it takes to have a really efficient motion. And as you know, a velocity is a product of a real efficient motion. And the efficiency allows you to move fast in the places you need to move fast in. But the one thing people ask me all the time, if you were going to say one thing, you know, forget about all the details of it, but if you were going to pick one thing that you see is the most consistent characteristic of not only the best pitchers I work with, but the pitchers on in the major league that I look at to see, wow, how does this guy do this? And, you know, it is amazing to me because sometimes a guy is throwing 96 miles an hour and I can't stand his mechanics. But there's one thing that they all have in common, and in my opinion, it's one of the most important things you have to have, and it's where your arm is at when the foot lands. And when I say the arm, I'm speaking first about from the shoulder to the elbow. The height of that arm has to be exactly at 90 degrees. And as he's striding out, that's the movement. He's moving his arm up to that. And the shoulder has to be rotated where the forearm has that angle on it that we want to see at stride foot contact. And if anybody doesn't know this by now, I've talked about it so much through the year, and we also posted some pictures at the first part of the season. Anybody can call me, and I'll send them a picture of it. But if you walked up to a right-handed pitcher up the mound and faced him as he had just landed, and if you had someone behind the rubber holding a clock, if he's a right-handed pitcher, his forearm would be at the angle where it's pointing to 10 o'clock. So he's got a shoulder to elbow that's at 90 degrees. He's got a forearm that's angled to 10. Of course, if he's a lefty, it would be to 2. And that's where his arm is at when his foot lands. And from there, that arm starts to rotate. The shoulder rotates back. He gets a pre-stretch. He ends up facing the hitter, and he throws the ball with maximal acceleration because his arm was in that perfect place so that when he started to turn, he was actually beginning the accumulation of what the shoulder needs to accelerate. If your arm is too low or too high, or that forearm is at 9 o'clock or 3 o'clock for a lefty, you do not get the same stretch. That is the characteristic that's critical. Now, with that being said, when guys don't do it, there's a reason why they don't do it. So that's why you do have to look to the rest of the motion. But that's the characteristic we want. So if you've got a guy and you don't really know how to analyze mechanics, but you can see this in him, his arm, you might call it late, you might call it early, you might call it any different thing, but you know it's not in the right place. If he's not in that right place, what you're looking at is probably a ceiling to his velocity. So make sure you figure out why it's not in the right place and make sure you address that. And that's the one characteristic that they all have.
Yeah, I mean, I bet if you went back in time, I mean, if you looked at Bob Feller or if you looked at Nolan Ryan, you know, those would be great examples of, you know, having your arm in the right position, right?
Absolutely. Mariano does it. Chapman does it. All the guys that have really we look at and they're just got something about them that's so special. And when you see them rotating around because their arm is at that place, they're getting this tremendous pre-stretch around the shoulder. Remember, velocity comes from converting a stretch to a contraction. You don't get the same stretch if you're not with your arm in that location. So that's the one singular characteristic that if I were going to list them, that would be the number one thing that has to happen.
Now, since this is the last podcast for us, you know, going into the off season, when you think about all of these subjects that we have discussed throughout the year, you got to be hopeful that coaches around the country are more open to new methods because, yeah, there's the tradition of baseball and, there might be, you know, a delivery that's been used forever and ever, but if arms are not healthy, and we're seeing so many injuries, Angel, we're seeing so many Tommy John surgeries, got to figure at some point that the coaches will be open to trying to do some new things. And you've brought up so many different aspects on this program of what can be done. So what is your message to the coaches about what they might want to consider going forward?
Well, you know, every season I kind of characterize it, and I would call this season and my message to coaches from this season is the don't get caught with your pants down season. What happened to Matt Harvey? You know, it's like going to the bank to withdraw money and you already wrote all your checks and you're like, duh.
Yeah, he was overdrawn. That's right.
Exactly. He was overdrawn. He shouldn't have been because he should have known he needed more money, right? So the thing is, I think that coaches, and I really believe coaches are coming around. I've seen such a vast difference even in my business this last year with coaches calling me and all the great coaches that listen to this program and refer me clients. And they're starting to say, you know what, we need to have one little other element. And what I love is they're starting to see that I am another element. I'm not a pitching coach. I'm a little extra thing that you bring in.
Right.
And they are starting to change. So in order to not get caught with your pants down, coaches, here's what I want everyone to do. We're in the off season right now. Right now, start planning. Get out your calendars and start planning when your preseason starts in terms of getting all your pitchers lined up, and you write them an email. I know you don't work with them. You tell them when to start their flat ground throwing so that they can flat ground for 2 weeks, pitch, increasing their pitch counts by 10%. And if you go to my Angel Borelli Pitching Facebook page on December 2nd of 2014, and I'll probably reprint this, but if you want to look now, you can go back to there, and I started and every week posted exactly what you should do and where you should be for a 10-week program where all your guys are ready, and you're not going to get caught with your pants down because your best pitcher just started pitching a week before and he can't go more than 25 pitches. That's number one. Number two, I want you to really think seriously about the off season and understanding that if your pitchers are off, they're off. I get so many calls. Oh, I just got a call. There's a showcase, and the coach wants him to go pitch in October or do this. And guys, it's not just one day. If your pitchers have been off in their training in the off season, in order to be ready, especially for a showcase, they'd have to throw flat ground and then increase their pitch counts, or they're going to get injured. Please think about this. When someone calls you and says, we need a pitcher or we need this, think about your pitchers who are in off season. And don't put them in that dilemma, because a lot of them don't want to say no, but an off season is an off season. And to all the coaches and universities that schedule things in the off season, please be respectful of the fact that pitchers need an off season. I think one of the problems is some of the big universities schedule showcases in November and December. And the problem is, if you're going to showcase to show your best, you can't even take an off season. So I wish the whole community would start thinking about that. The other thing I want coaches to do is start experimenting and plan ahead that next year you're not going to get caught with your pants down when you've got a three-day tournament and your best pitcher, you know, you want him to pitch all 3 days if you could. Figure out a way, looking at the USA Baseball Recovery Guidelines, where you can use a good pitcher on a Friday, what his pitch count would have to be, where you might pull him out after a few innings. Maybe you're using a lot of your good pitchers, and then you put him in on Sunday, the final day. There are creative ways to work through rotations, but yes, it takes some planning. But do not hesitate to be creative as long as you're following the rules. So start working out now how you might start to handle those sorts of situations. And then the last message is, please get all your guys on a pre-pitching and a post-pitching program. My program, of course, is to me the best on the market. There's thousands of people that agree with that. I get letters all the time. But if it's not my program, whether you're designing one or there's another one that you like, make sure these guys are preparing with bands before they pitch and make sure they have a program to recover immediately following pitching, so that you know you've covered all the bases. And in the end, you'll be making sure that not one of your pitchers doesn't get on the DL in the first month, which is when it all happens. So those are my parting messages to everybody. And I hope that you take them seriously. And also feel free to email me with any questions.
Well, I know that I've learned a lot on this podcast this year, and I know that the listeners have. And I want to personally thank everybody for listening. It's been a privilege to host the Fix podcast on thesportsvirus.com. And Angel, you're just a wealth of knowledge. I wonder, you know, I know that you're into this year round. So what else happens in the off season? I know that you have Angel Borelli Pitching on Facebook. So what can people expect in the off season?
Well, in the off season, when I don't do the podcast, I post, it's an educational page. So every week I post a tip, and I'm going to be doing series. Like my next series, I've decided I want to come up with some troubleshooting tips. And I always pick a topic that's near and dear. And, of course, in December I'll be talking about the off-season throwing program. And so they can get continuous education each week that is specific to pitchers. Pitchers love it. Coaches love it. Fathers love it. That's what I do with that. And then I'm always available to answer any questions if anybody emails me. And, I stay busy all year round, and I'm very excited to always do this podcast. So I want to thank everybody for listening. Again, thank you so much, Joe, for everything.
And we definitely look forward to 2016, right?
Yes, I can't wait.
It'll be here before we know it.
Exactly.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening. That's Pitching Mechanics expert Angel Borelli. If you have any questions or comments, send an email to angel@jimscience.com. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to the Fix Podcast on thesportsvirus.com.